Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So do remember, guys, before we get cracking with today's episode, the more you like, the more you subscribe, the bigger, the badder the guests are getting. It's one of the reasons today's show has got such amazing guests, is because more people are liking and more people are subscribing. Hello and welcome to Man Baggage. My name is Russell Kane and I'm here once again to empty my man baggage of its viscous insights. We started in the area of blokes don't talk enough. This is still true, by the way. Men don't talk enough. Men don't communicate enough. Let's sort of create a space where we take a subject each week and make men talk on the subject we wished men would talk about. The unexpected consequences being, I think it might even be like 55% female listenership, because it turns out, as much as we have a problem with men communicating, we have more of a problem with women wondering what the fuck is going on with men. That seems to be more of a question that's being asked. So if you tell Gary, Dave and Terry, men don't communicate with each other enough, they go, yeah, I know, pint please. If you say that to women, they say, but why? Let's lit an aromatherapy candle, let's have a debate and let's get to the bottom of why this is happening. And that's where man baggage comes out of. It's a 50-50 Haynes manual for boys, girls and everyone on the spectrum in between Twitter. Please don't cancel me, although I do like boy wizards and girl ones and gender neutral ones. Expelliarmus to the face, JK Rowling. And what a guest I've got this week joining me. Before I tell you about the subject that we're going to delve into, let's just take a moment to be astounded by the two guests I've managed to get this week. The man's head who I'm drilling into is none other than Greg Rutherford, a track and field legend, obviously, but I know him as a dancer and professional ginger. He turned professional ginger in his teens. He was in the amateur ginger league till he was about 14, turned professional. And he went from there into track and field. Do people with red hair compete in a separate category, or do you run against blonde and brunette?
I love that. That's probably the best intro I've ever had, professional ginger. I'm prouder of that than probably anything else in my life, to be totally honest now. Not so much
Everyone turns pro.
Well, that's the thing. But the amount of stick you have to take to get there, I think maybe that's what it's on. The bronze is exactly how much abuse you get over the years is to whether or not you can go pro or not. So I would definitely like to think that I am most certainly pro now. Thank you, yes.
You're about 3 years away from ticking a diversity box. Just hang in there. I'm joined by a female guest as well. Why? But this is a man's area. Why do we have to have women ruining bloke stuff? Yet again, it's political correctness gone mad. Not that you're allowed to say a woman exists anymore, Gary. I know, women have been abolished. But I'm joined by a female for this reason. Were Greg and I to sit here exchanging thoughts about men and what men think back and forth, we would inevitably reflect on what women think. And that would tempt us, I'm afraid to say, Greg, to drift into possible sexist generalisations which we could not back up, which might not be true, or that might be true. And we need verified. That's why it's so important to have a strong female auditor each week. And we smashed it out of the park this week with Giovanna Fletcher, obviously a very successful author, book writer generally. Anything she publishes seems to just sell in its hundreds of thousands, but also champion of I'm going to call it the jungle out of nostalgia, but I'm a celeb champion. I mean, that is quite some skill range, Giovanna, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I just went into a castle and, you know, just rested and cooked some food and chatted to people for 3 weeks. It was a really nice time. It felt like a bit of a time off. It felt like a holiday, if I'm honest. And I think going into it, everyone's like, you've got cameras on you 24/7. But actually in everyday life, you've got people at you all day long.
True.
So actually to switch off from that was actually It was lovely.
It's quite some difference, though, isn't it? Going from author to like eating like raw testicles or something.
Well, and being an author where you're on your own the whole time.
I couldn't imagine Ian McEwan fellating a kangaroo's cock. I
wonder if he has.
Just get him on and ask him. I was going to say as well, I think it's only a parent can say that going into something like the jungle or the castle is a holiday, isn't it? I mean, that's the big thing. I sort of look at it and think, yeah, no, I get that.
It's a holiday.
I fully get that.
Going to work's a holiday. haven't you ever, as a parent, let's be completely honest, been ill, not seriously, but like quite bad, like food poisoning, shitting yourself in bed, and it's still sort of a nice little holiday?
Absolutely.
I broke my ankle at the start of the year, and I've got to say that week where I spent in holiday in bed, just in case the kids jumped on me, it felt like a holiday. I was Netflix, chilling, you know, in pain, but yeah. It was a holiday as well.
We'll use that as a, and sorry for the painful pun, jumping off point.
Very good.
And you too, Greg, I suppose. And into today's topic, which feels relevant to what we've just said, because we're going to talk about self-care, cap S, cap C, because it's sort of become a thing now. It's a section in the bookshop. It's a thing online. It's a term in its own right, cap S, cap C. It's the practice of taking an active role in protecting one's well-being and happiness, in particular during periods of stress, or one could argue as a preventative, as Giovanna was doing, like you take self-care in advance for any batterings that may be coming our way. So I'm going to start with the difficult, impossible trap questions I always do, and I only want you to answer in your experience. There's no one is on here to get cancelled, I bloody hope. But do you think, Giovanna, that men care less about self-care than women, in your experience?
Oh, that's interesting. I would say no, they don't. And I think the act of self-care, and I don't know whether I'm coming at it from a mum point of view, the act of self-care when you're a mum, it's tinged with this guilt. So if I go for a run or a walk, whatever, I feel this guilt while I'm doing it of, oh, but there's so many, you know, I'm taking the time away. Or whereas actually I feel like a man, a dad might be able to do that and just be in the activity and not, and I guess it's what you define as self-care. You know, is self-care going to get your hair or your nails done, or is it going off and
definitely
just losing yourself on a run for half an hour?
Both those things.
And it's up to you. It's what you find useful to you. So I feel like for me, I think men are quite good at self-care in the sense of they're able to relinquish responsibilities and just go for it.
I think from my point of view, and I've had these conversations with Susie, my partner, plenty of times, I'm going to agree 100%. I find it very easy just to go off and go for a run. and you know what? It's only because now I've been made aware that I find it so easy is that I now feel slightly bad about it. And I'm going to say slightly bad because I still go and do it quite regularly. Mm. And I don't know if it's different for me. Like going for a run is probably one of the most important things for me, or trying to work out. And if we're talking about, obviously we are talking about self-care here, that for me is a big part for me. And obviously that comes from my life being all about physical activity. But for me, when I can't do it, and I'm coming out the back end of a period of 4 months of being unable to do it, I realise how much it affects me. So I think I've probably developed knowing the need to go out and do it. And equally, I'm very happy to go and do it because, yeah, I feel like I sort of have to, if you like, as well, which is I think I'm a better person around the house when I'm content and able to go out and do the odd thing. And that sounds terrible.
But that is the thing, though. No, but taking that half hour to just go out and have a bit of time for yourself. Like, I know that I can go out feeling quite stressed, but I come back, nothing has changed, but everything has just sort of elevated a little bit. So it is so important to go out and take that time. But it does, for me, make me feel a little bit guilty at the same time, which I know is ridiculous and counterproductive, but...
Do you think men and women's definition of self-care is different? Do you think men are more likely to give, like, a physical answer? Like, go, like, beat up the punch bag or go for a run or go, like, shout wanker at a tree? And I just let that steam.
I just did that.
And the girls are like, I like a reflective moment with my frankincense candle.
I think it's down to the individual, because even, like, for me, I would say it's a physical thing or it's a doing thing, whether that's gardening. I just spent, like, a few weeks knocking down a brick wall in the garden. That, to me, felt weirdly like self-care because all of my other responsibilities were gone. I was just focused on this brick wall. And whereas, you know, for other women, it might be going to the nail place, a nail salon, and getting the nails done or getting the hair done. Whereas for me, I don't like that stuff because I get like ants in my pants. I need to be doing something. Yeah. So I think it's down to the individual. And I'm sure men are the same. I'm sure some men like going out for a run, whereas other men love their self-care is seeing their mates and watching the football, maybe.
Yeah. But do you think the term itself, though, has got like a feminine taint? I mean, it's all very well being middle class and saying what we like. But if you look at your average like working class bloke, Terry and Gary and Lee and Darren on the WhatsApp group, one of them said, I'm going to just have a day off for a bit of self-care, lads. I can't see that going by without some banter coming back.
Does anyone use the term?
Well, I think they do, yeah. I think they do. A bit of self pampering would be another way. Yeah. A pampered. Try being a bloke who's into bath bombs and see what your life's like. And there are a lot of us.
Russell?
There's a lot of us.
Do you know what? I haven't tried bath bombs yet, but the kids are obsessed with them. So maybe I'm missing a trick there. That's forget all this running malarkey. Maybe I just need a good bath bomb.
Can you imagine your career's over because you've discovered the bath bomb?
My career was over.
Greg Rutherford is no longer an athlete.
You set off such a violent one, you're out for another 4 months.
I can trip over a flat floor, to be honest. That will happen.
It was a lavender one, did both machines.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What about sort of negative self-care that gives you the positive outcome? So for example, myself and Lindsay went out last night, we drank way too much tequila and ate shit chicken. Definitely took time off of our life, definitely feel like shit today, but weirdly needed. Or having a bad day. I'm not talking about people that have got a compulsive eating problem, I'm just saying treat yourself now and again to a Mackie D's. So it's self-care mentally, but physically detrimental. It's a sort of paradox of self-care.
No, but you can get so much out of eating and drinking. I mean, obviously, well, fundamentally, we have to do it to survive. But if there's that food that is a bit crap and it, you know it's not great for you, but that's what's going to make you happy. I mean, obviously, as long as it doesn't turn into something all the time, I think, because obviously then your health's going to suffer from that. And that's just a sort of snowballing effect of issues. But no, I think there's no issue with that at all. Like, and I think this is the big problem in the world as well, is that you're told so often you can't do so many things or you shouldn't do that, that actually you then completely remove it from your life in every aspect, which then means that actually you crave it more. Then when you do it, you feel even worse about yourself. And it's just a vicious spiral. So I think you have to. Like for me, food's a big thing. I had to say no so often to food when I was an athlete. And then I've sort of come out the back end of that. And look, if I fancy a cream cake at midnight, I'll eat a cream cake at midnight. And it's such a good feeling to me now, because there's like a level of, oh, this is a bit naughty. But equally, it's those sort of 15 years of saying no to that I now get to absorb and have a great time with it. So I think there has to be a place for enjoying food and drink.
Yeah, and it's not like you're doing it all the time. Russell, how did it feel? Like, talk us through the feeling that you had when you were eating that dirty chicken, dancing the night away with tequila.
Where we go, we went to the after party for this play we went to see, had a bit of a dance, got in. It was already 1 a.m. It's way too late. And then we got the Deliveroo out and I was like, shall we? And then we watched an ITV documentary about the canoe man eating chicken at 1:30 in the morning.
This is amazing. This is
straight
amazing.
Out on the double bed. There wasn't even a table.
Yeah.
By 11 o'clock, I'm knackered no matter where I am. It's just like, I don't know what's wrong with me nowadays. From the years of just being able to stay up all night and have a great time, now I'm exhausted. I'm very impressed by sort of 1:30, 1 to
order. We've got kids and we're getting old.
Yeah, it's definitely that. Those buggers.
So going back to what you said earlier, Giovanni, that men do report taking more time for themselves. So this was, I reckon in a survey, if you said who's more into self-care, men or women, the stereotype would be, oh, birds, you know, but that is not the case. 74% of people consider self-care to mean taking care of their bodies, while 57% think it means taking a mental break. 39% of men say they consistently make time for self-care, while only 32% of women do. That could be the guilt thing that you were talking about.
Well, yeah,
you're
putting yourself at the bottom of the to-do list.
And Japan comes in top of the league. So in Japanese culture, taking time out to restore one's zen, I suppose, almost 55% of people value that, compared to nearly 40% of people in the UK, USA and Australia. So there's almost like a guilt in our cultures. It's become dangerously associated with a laziness or lack of productivity. Yeah. What did you do? I had a self-care day. Yeah, well, I sorted out my books. I took the right. I renovated the house. You know, as though that's opposite of self-care doing.
I remember a little while ago, someone saying about how so often when people say, oh, how are you? Busy is the word. Just busy, busy. And that was kind of the fashion. And actually, why is being busy the thing that we are all aiming to be? Because you're blocking out the enjoyment part of life and, you know, the part that we're busy for. You know, we all work so that we get to enjoy time with our family and friends. So it was really interesting to me that it kind of made me realise that there does need to be a shift and there does need to be a cutoff point when it comes to work so that we can enjoy time for ourselves and time for our family. Plus, I think when looking back to what my me time used to be, I used to think like a walk with the family was a bit of me time. Whereas actually, when you're walking with your kids and your partner, there's probably only about 30 seconds where everything's completely serene. Yeah. And you look to your partner and go, oh, isn't this great? The rest of it, you're like running after the kids who you've accidentally put on their bikes. You're not on a bike, so you're running after them. Or someone's about to step in dog poo. You know, so there's things going on and you're risk assessing the whole time. So I think it is important to make sure that your self-care and your me time is chilled out and that you are able to switch off within that.
What are you like at switching off then, Greg? You're quite
I'm rubbish.
Greg, what about you? You're an actor because you already said your self-care is probably like me. Like I like to do like a HIIT workout.
Yeah.
I try and get my heart rate up to 177 just to see what will happen. And then try and lift so much weight, my pec jets off across the garden.
Isn't it weird that desire just to completely and utterly challenge yourself to a point of just ridiculousness? I get this all the time. And you're exactly the same. I look at my watch and I'll be like, yeah, I'm nearly at 180 for my heart rate. This is brilliant. Forgetting the fact that I might just keel over any minute now. But no, look, I think I'm probably, as I say, good at getting out the house and just doing something like going for a run. That is the big thing for me. That's how I switch off.
But how good are you at doing nothing? What about doing nothing? Films, I'm a reader. I'm very good at, I love reading, but I tend to be moving when I'm reading. I like reading in cars and trains. I love film. Film for me, that's it. Good film. I can do 2-3 hours. I can do 2 films back to back.
I'm just now trying to think because the problem is that the children seem to control the TV most of the time. By the time they finally go to bed, I'm knackered as well. And it's just trying to fit in everything else. Do you know what? I don't think I'm great at sitting still. And I think that's just the way I am. And I think the way I was brought up, I was in one of those families where you went on holiday and it was like 7:30 in the morning and you have to be up. You have to be out. Going out somewhere, and it was like basically military, like the whole thing. Like you're going to go out there, we're going to go see this thing, we're going to do this ridiculous thing, we're going to go see the biggest crater in Weymouth. Like, I mean, it was just like ridiculous because it was always like crap holidays. They were up for ours. They were pretty rubbish, to be honest. But yeah, I think that's probably influenced me in quite a maybe a negative way. In that way, I'm terrible at sitting still. I'm terrible at just switching off and watching. The only thing I will do ever so often, when I can, I get the TV, is I'll watch like a history documentary. I'm quite geeky like that. I like that. I love that. And that's the one thing that I probably can stop and and enjoy. But it's just having that time. I never seem to have the chance just to literally turn on the TV or do something and stop. And then there's always clearing stuff up or doing stuff. Or now it's like taking the kids to football or whatever it might be. You realise you just don't really have a chance to stop and think. And that's where, again, I think when I actively go out and do something physical, then it means that I get that chance to sort of switch off at the same time. I think that's the big thing for me. As much as if I go for a run or lift or whatever else, it's hard work. In the same time, I'm switching off from everything else around it. So that seems to work for me.
Do you think it's something that can be learnt, Giovanna, stillness and chilling? Or do you think it's inborn? I know that we're sequencing our DNA now all the time on these websites, 23andMe.com. So they know there is a gene for people like me, you know, whose leg's always jiggling, I'm always moving. That is a genetic trait. You're born with that. So when I'm at dinner, my knee will be going. I'm always up and down the stairs. You know, I'm room to... You've either got that...
I love this. It means my eight-year-old will never grow out of it.
That is genetic. However... learning to chill the F out, watch a film, pick up a book is something I've honed over the years. Mm. But I wonder whether you think it can be taught or learned or improved.
I don't know, to be honest. I guess it is that it's finding that thing, isn't it? Whether it is discovering a love of books, discovering meditation, discovering the joy of just sitting. For me, like... the one time that I love sitting, when I go on a book tour, because we all know, when we're like,
oh, you've got
that,
a new book coming out, haven't you? Sorry, what? Tell us about your new book.
So it's okay, don't you worry. Walking on Sunshine. It's the paperback.
What is it? Hold on. Is it fiction, non-fiction? Come on.
It's fiction. It's my 12th book.
Bloody hell.
And this one follows three friends, two women and one man, and they're all at different points in their life and kind of going, is this it? So one woman's just got engaged, and you think that was, you know, a massive, an amazing point in her life, but she's just realised that actually it's the end of all the first dates, the first kisses, all that excitement. So she's kind of going, well, is this it actually for the rest of my life? The other woman is a mother of two, and you know, she's constantly...
I feel like the research was quite immediate on some of these characters.
On this one, absolutely. You know, getting fish pie chucked at her and all sorts.
Did one of them treading dog poo? I'm not on a bike. Going out for a walk.
But she's, you know, she's going through that every day. She's dealing with that stress and kind of going, is this it? Is this it for life? Mm. And then the male character has just lost the love of his life. She passed away, and she's actually friends with the women as well. So he's kind of gone, well, I've had the love of my life and have experienced that. Is this emptiness? Is this loneliness? Is this me forever? Is this it? So they go on a trek, and as you both know, I go on treks with Copperfield every year, have done since 2017, and they're the most amazing things ever.
Copperfield is the breast cancer charity, isn't it?
Breast cancer awareness charity, yeah. And they're just the most amazing thing, getting outdoors, talking to people, letting those barriers down, overcoming fears, you know, doing these challenges that are beyond what you think you're capable of. The barriers fall away, and you are... I guess you expose yourself in a way that you can't prepare for. And it's just the most brilliant thing. So I wanted to put these three friends on this trek so they go on the Laris trek in Peru.
It sounds bloody brilliant. But while I've got you on books,
yes.
I wondered what your opinion was of this sort of self-care being monetized and turned into an industry. I mean, all the things we're talking about are all lovely. It's all about going out for a run, family time, putting on a scented candle, meditating, eating a treat food, couple time at meal. But there is a darker side to self-care.
But self-help books have always been available. Like if we look back to like growing up and stuff, they've always been there, you know, how to change your life in 7 days or whatever. That it's always been that non-fiction category that's there. It will be interesting actually to see how in a bookshop, what that space used to be compared to what it is now. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I guess for some people... people find someone who speaks in a way that resonates with them, and they will make them change their lives and, you know, take time for themselves in a way that someone else who's got the same message but is saying it differently might not. There's a lot to be said in the area because we are all focusing on it a lot more.
Right, we're going to take a quick break there, guys. I'm going to go and light a frankincense candle and just go and high-five a stranger. We'll be back with part two in this discussion of self-care.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.